Greetings, pod people. This is Christopher McClanahan reporting to you from the Fortress of Smolitude, and these are the Deeply Dapper Dispatches. Welcome to Deeply Dapper Dispatches. It is February 25th, 2016.
Hi.
And this week on the Dispatches portion of 3D, we talk about horror news, new TV stuff, Prometheus Aliens, and we give our spoiler... Why not?
Did you get my text earlier?
I did. Did I not respond to it? I may have been just like, eh.
How I felt about it.
We also give our spoiler-free impressions of The Witch, Maltese Falcon, The Muppets, but first, introductions are in order. As always, I'm Christopher McClanahan, and as usual, the goon's skinny cousin, Devin, is here.
The goon's skinny cousin. Yeah. Is it because of the hat?
It is the hat.
All right. I'm not even wearing stripes today.
And the knife
today.
To the eye.
Oh, I am wearing stripes today.
Hey, you got goon socks on.
Okay, all right. Knife to the eye. Sweet.
Let's move on to drink check.
These are lost drunken men who don't know where they are, but do care.
We are sampling a little bottle of something called Pendleton Midnight, a blended Canadian whiskey. Ooh, it smells...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of alcohol on the nose.
No.
There is a really nice sort of vanilla caramel.
Yeah, the caramel, like it's kind of a toasty caramel.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's not bad.
It is not bad. I expected it to be sweeter since... Canadian whiskey tends to be a little cloyingly sweet, and the nose was not encouraging, but it's got a little bit of an alcohol kick.
It's got some nice burn.
Definitely on the back.
It's got a lot of flavor right in the mouth, though, when you first take a swallow. I'm using very improper description terms. It's got a lot of flavor right in that mouth when you drink it.
Oh, shit, I don't fucking know either.
It hits me in my nose in my drinker majigger.
I get, like, the barest hint of leather, which is not something I usually associate with Canadian whiskey either. That's more of, like, a bourbon thing.
Yeah, I see that.
I like it. I wish it was a little more pronounced, but then again, I prefer bourbon anyway, so...
It's interesting to me how much more pronounced the burn is on this if you happen to be breathing out as you swallow. that second swallow was a little more intense than the first one.
The alcohol is definitely there.
Yeah, it's good though. I like it.
Yeah, it's not overbearing.
Yeah, it's a 90 proof. So it's a pretty solid little liquor here.
I enjoy this.
Yeah. It gets sweeter as it warms up.
Yeah.
My third swallow was definitely had a little bit more of that caramel in there. It's almost buttery, actually.
I could see that.
But, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know that I would purchase an entire giant bottle, because I don't think I could sit and just drink this neat.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, I mean, I could sit and drink it neat, but not...
You could drink
fucking...
anything.
Yeah, shush you.
He could drink it untidy.
No. But, yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah, that's not bad. That was worth a sample, anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
We bought our tiny little airline bottle sample there. This might be a good way for us to do alcohol and not be slurring by the end of the episode.
I like slurring by the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
As some episodes, I think, show.
I think some of them have been.
Sorry about that. Audience and host.
I do what I can. These are my friends, folks.
We live in small town Idaho.
Right.
There's very little to do.
I have my brother and my brother that isn't from blood. So let's move on to the news with this just in.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Nothing really super exciting. They have announced a few more casting notes for Alien Covenant. Honestly, it's people I have never heard of before.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah. They cast Jussie Smollett, Amy Simetz. Jussie Smollett sounds like a Kermit the Frog relative of some sort.
Yeah, right.
But, oh, no, Smollett was the guy that was trying to kidnap Kermit the Frog and sell his legs, wasn't it?
That sounds right. It's been a very long
Farmer
time.
Farmer Smollett? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Carmen Ejogo and Moore. Moore is not somebody I've
Kelly
heard of before.
Kelly Fernandez, too.
Why did they name everyone but the one person? They announce four castings, and here on Deadline Hollywood, they only name three of them.
That's
in the headline.
Interesting, yeah.
It's odd. But yeah, I have no real interest in this, per se. Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it, but...
Small spoiler alert, Michael Fassbender is returning as David.
Yes. Which I'm kind of okay with.
He was the best part of Prometheus, although that's not saying much, because it was complete and utter shit.
Although I actually really liked their spacesuits.
I did too.
I thought their spacesuits were nice.
Yeah, I like the blue.
Yeah, yeah. That was my favorite part of the entire movie, but...
It sure didn't feel like it fit in with as a prequel to Alien. It's the Star Wars prequel.
Yeah, any of the technology, anytime it's sleeker and prettier as a prequel,
like,
is
that
bullshit.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it needed to be boxy and... Mm-hmm. When it's typing.
Yeah. Yeah, they needed to do what Alien Isolation did.
Right, yeah.
Which clearly those people care way more about that universe than Ridley Scott. Surprise.
So last week, a couple weeks ago anyway, we talked about Singer's upcoming 20,000 Weeks Under the Sea remake, I guess. Disney has also announced a Captain Nemo movie, which will feature Captain Nemo prior to the events of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Prequel!
I realize why they do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have a pre-sold audience.
Yeah, it's
like,
a known brand and
like,
all that
I get
shit.
It. I get it, but I hate it. I hate it so much.
And they've,
I'm
they've
sick of it.
Hired James Mangold, who directed Wolverine, which I liked.
Wait, Wolverine or The Wolverine?
The Wolverine.
Oh, the
newest
good
one. Yeah, the good one. Not Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, okay, that movie was good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm intrigued by it, but that's all we know about it at all.
See, I saw his picture, and I thought that's who they were casting for Captain Nemo.
I wouldn't be too far off.
I think he could pull that
off. Honestly, yeah. Captain Mangold could be James Nemo. Something like that. Whiskey.
Barely. Half
yeah,
a shot.
Yes, half a shot of whiskey. Mm. So that wasn't super interesting, but I did think it's interesting that there are two 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea properties under development now.
David Fincher was developing this one before dropping out to direct Gone Girl.
Originally, so it was a while ago. And it sounds like they're retooling the script now that Mango's on.
Because that always bodes well.
Yeah, yeah.
More rewrites, people.
Well, you know, when a new director takes over, I'm sure he's like, you know, I'd kind of like to do it at least somewhat my way.
Yeah, I know.
And really taking over a script after Fincher, going through all those little black and white notebooks of crazy drawings and stuff, can't be fun.
With hooks and tape?
Exactly. Yeah. Why is this page just a bunch of duct tape and fish hooks? This doesn't make any sense.
It's in Braille.
Fuck you, Fincher! It's in Braille. Yeah, James Mangold here. I need a new assistant. Jamie quit.
And by quit, we mean went to the emergency room.
Tetanus shots. All around.
We're not covering this under work.
Fincher's at it again. In other news, the director of Witch is now apparently also working on a Rasputin miniseries as his next project. Which is conflicting, because the last thing I saw was that the next thing he's working on is a film called The Night, which is a medieval epic of some sort.
I've heard about that too.
He is also officially working on a remake of Nosferatu.
I am cautiously optimistic
I would be really
about
interested to see that, actually. of anyone that I've seen recently that could do that movie, that would be a really interesting choice.
On the strength of The Witch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only film he's directed so far. Mm-hmm. And based off of the amount of authenticity, we'll talk about that on the second half of the podcast. Ooh, but I would be pretty down with both Rasputin and Nosferatu being done by him, actually.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'd love to see a miniseries of Rasputin in a dramatized fashion.
I would, too. Like, I really like the story. I've rarely seen it done in a way that's compelling. Or
yeah, I mean, Christopher Lloyd did a really good job, but in Anastasia.
Yeah, well, I know you have a soft spot for that movie. I don't.
I do, and it's almost entirely due to having a little bit of a crush on the cartoon Anastasia.
Oh, God.
Like, I can't explain it.
I really like Don Bluth's animation style.
I do, too.
Like, I kind of prefer it to the direction that Disney went, but, man, Don Bluth hadn't done anything good for a very long time.
You have too much of a stringent attraction to historical accuracy in your cartoons.
Sometimes.
Or isn't that why you don't like that one?
No, I just didn't think it was very good.
Oh, well.
It's been long enough. I don't have any specific gripes, but I remember not caring for it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'll give you that. It was a cartoon about Anastasia and a singing bat, and
right, which, you know, sounds up my alley, honestly.
It does, honestly, if you think about it. They've also announced a TV series for Stephen King's The Mist.
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
I'm excited about this, actually, because it sounds like it's going to feature different characters in different locales during The Mist and rolling in, which could be interesting. Hmm. I really liked the movie, and I thought the short story was pretty solid, too.
Unless I have read the short story, and it's just been years.
I like the short story better than the movie.
What collection is it in? Do you remember?
Oh, God. I don't.
Okay, well, I mean, it's been
It seems 20
plus
like
years since I've read any King anyway.
So. Yeah, God, what short story collection was that in? I remember reading it in a collection that they put out that I brought to work with me, and I made a nest up. Oh, Skeleton Crew, I think, actually.
Is it in Skeleton Crew?
I think.
Because that's just a list of Stephen King.
Yeah, you're right there.
It is.
Skeleton Crew. I think that's the only one of his collection I have, actually. So
I have read that. I don't remember.
I liked it. I read it sitting up in the top bays at Walgreens on a toilet paper box when I was supposed to be working on inventory.
Nice and
moody. At like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
So
that is nice and moody.
Yeah, good timing to read that type of book.
Didn't you have like a really interesting short film treatment that you were working on, like based around early morning?
I'm actually working on a novel that I've been working on for 7.5 years.
Then I won't say anything
that anymore. I am actually publishing the first half of it in the next couple months, actually. Good segue. No.
Wow.
No, it's called Graves, but it's a zombie book.
Oh, that's
right. It's a zombie novel that takes place in a drugstore over the course of the 8-hour shift in the drugstore. And it's taken me a long time to write because I intentionally wanted each chapter to be written from the point of view of a different character and be written in their word type, like the way they think. And so I was having a hard time not...
So you're taking a year off between each character?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying not to apply my voice to the character kind of thing. And it's such a dumb, zombie book, I was probably being a little too ambitious with that. But, yeah, I'm up to, over 90,000 words on it right now.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's huge. It's turned into, twice the length of any other book I've written so far. So I've decided to release the first half, basically up until the lunch break of the graveyard shift. And then the second half will be from the clocking in to the end of shift kind of thing.
Huh.
And I'm just, it just straight up ends. at the end of the shift kind of thing. It doesn't, like, necessarily come to a neat, pretty conclusion. And I just, I don't know, it's kind of a fun experiment. I don't go beyond the property line of the drugstore for the entire shift.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's very self-contained. And so it could certainly work as a short film or something like that. But, yeah, it's called Graves, and it's coming out hopefully in March, actually, the first half will be. So, thanks for letting me plug my book that you didn't know was
that
a book.
I had no idea was, yeah, wow.
And, you know, it's funny, I did actually start writing it about the time I was probably reading The Mist in the stockroom at the, because on my lunch break, I'd sit up to the computer in the photo lab, and I'd write the book and then save it to a flash drive, and
then I'd work on it.
It was written on the graveyard shift at Walgreens in a drugstore in Missoula. So beyond that, the only other news I have is that they have cast, though it hasn't been confirmed by Marvel or Netflix, the actor that is going to play Iron Fist. Don't know how I feel about it. It is a Game of Thrones actor, Finn Jones. He played the Knight of the Flowers in Game of Thrones. He's really good in that. He doesn't have a huge part. He looks like
Danny Rand. I have not seen Game of Thrones at all, so I have no idea what this guy's acting is like. But from that photo, I think he can do it.
He looks solid, yeah. I kind of come around to, like, I was kind of excited about the idea of them casting an Asian American for the role. I was kind of excited about that idea. But going comic accurate, looking at him, he looks really solid as Iron Fist, actually. I'm pretty down with that. And he's good in Game of Thrones. He plays Loras Tyrell, who's kind of the sexually ambivalent knight that's, I don't know. You've read the books.
Yeah, but it's been like 10 years.
Well,
there's so much shit going on in those books. You expect me to remember every, like, side character?
Okay, do you remember the family that comes in and, like, the his sister's the one that marries Joffrey.
Okay.
And he's the one that's kind of, like, maybe he's got something going on with his sister and some dudes and that kind of thing. And his role is really not very significant in Game of Thrones, but I like the actor a lot. It'll be interesting to see if he has the physicality for Iron Fist.
I'm sure they'll train him.
But he must, yeah, I mean, Charlie Cox, I would never have looked at him and been like, he can do all those moves in Daredevil. No problem.
No.
And on the plus side, again, Iron Fist kind of has that mask that covers a good amount of his face. Mm-hmm. So stunt doubles can totally pass for it.
Right, yeah.
And that's really all I've got for news. It's been kind of a slow week in terms of...
I want someone to hire me to be a superhero in a film just so they'll put me through that rigorous training so I get that body. Because I cannot do it myself.
They'll be like, 3 weeks later, they're like, actually, I think we're going to make you the computer nerd.
Yeah, yeah, which is totally fine.
They're like, you're going to be the angry guy in the corner that watches horror movies all the time.
We'll give you a red wig and cast you as Oracle.
There you go.
Which is okay, because Oracle's
awesome. You could be Arcade in the X-Men films.
I fucking hate Arcade. That could be, though.
But you could be a good Arcade, actually. That'd be solid, man. God. Put you in a white suit, give you some terrible little creations. You know, honestly, Arcade would be a fun one to see updated on film. Because he has all sorts of fun. I mean, it'd be kind of Saw-esque, but in a superhero way, in a better way.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't take much.
No, it really wouldn't. I remember really enjoying the Alan Davis Excalibur issues with Arcade in them. They were really solid. Because they were a lot more, like, mind-fucky. Hmm. Where, like, they didn't know if they were in a different world or a different dimension, but it turned out they were in this giant warehouse that he was controlling. So, like, Kitty Pryde phases through the floor and fucks up some of his machines, and that's when they realize that they're not in a different dimension, because Excalibur was always in a different dimension.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Oh, I love those comics.
I'm pretty sure the only Excalibur I've ever read has been in like crossovers. And I remember there's a crossover that happens. I can't even like place the date. It must have been mid or early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Star Trek movies had just come out, and like Warlock transforms himself into the USS Enterprise while they're in Asgard. And so, like...
Well, that would have been the New Mutants, though. That's Warlock. Oh, Warlock's New Mutants.
Okay, well, I mean...
Which is all still the same mind-fucking craziness. Crossover
nightmare. It's when Storm becomes Thor.
Oh, I do... Which one was that? Oh, that was a crazy crossover. I
mean, batshit crazy. Yeah. It's not good by any means.
No. But,
like, she's marrying Loki...
Yeah, oh, and, I remember yeah, that, which, yeah. You know,
and that's not
makes
weird.
Makes absolutely no sense, yeah. So I mean, I guess she is a goddess.
She's Thor, and she's marrying Loki.
That's
normal.
She's
not technically his brother, but either is Thor, really.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, that's the nerdiest I want to get tonight.
Oh, well, then we're in trouble.
Oh, boy.
Because we're about to move on to our new segment here. Where I'm going to test out the 8 questions I'm going to be quizzing people with at conventions.
Oh, goody.
Little thing I like to call octopus or squid.
Squid.
That's the last question. You answer that last. God Don't damn jump it. The gun. Mr. Devin, you're in the hot seat this week as I try out these questions.
It is kind of warm. It's all like vinyl. So my butt
and he's not
like,
wearing any pants.
I'm not wearing any pants. That's not true. I'm wearing pants.
Question number one. What 3 items of entertainment would you choose to take into the vault with you to ride out the apocalypse?
I hate this question.
Why?
I honestly
because you can't narrow it down?
I really can't. Like, if I'm going to answer honestly and realistically, it's probably going to be like whatever 3 items I can grab on the way down.
Fair enough. Let's say... You have a pregnant woman, and you know how you make that bag you take to the hospital that... Let's say you're planning, you're one of those preppers that has like the 2 years worth of food, and you're like, okay,
well.
Yeah, I know, not even remotely. And you're like, tofu doesn't last that long, fuck off. No,
it does if you get it in the like, shelf-stable box stuff, but that tofu's really gross.
So there's, my thought here is what... Is there a book that you can read over and over again for the next 30 years? Or a movie or a video game where you get enough interest out of it that it's something that it is one of the only things you can go back to without going completely insane?
You know, like part of me wants to say, well, shit. I take Infinite Jest because it takes forever to read because it's a tome, and 2, I think that there's so much going on and so much to unpack from that book.
Right.
However, if I'm stuck in a hole for years with one book, I don't know that that's the book that I want to keep going.
I can understand that. Maybe if you had a second book that was a little less intense.
Yeah, you know. God, you know, I just want something maybe lighthearted and playful and that makes me laugh.
Written hard and put away wet. No. See, I would have a hard time answering that question myself, but I think it'd be interesting to see what people come back with on that. If they're just like, blam, 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 like they've thought about it and have these things ready to go. Like, if I had to answer this question, Princess Bride would probably be my movie of choice, because I can watch it over and over again.
Solid choice.
I'd probably cheat and say I'd bring my Nook. No.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I mean, honestly, I'd probably like grab my portable hard drive and my laptop.
Seeing that, that's
you know?
Yeah, that's
so just... that's you know before it dies in 3 years. That's,
right,
that's 3 years of God knows how many albums. Well, I do. It's like a quarter of a terabyte of albums.
I'm disappointed
movies.
That it's that low. No,
dude.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the obvious answer on this, I think, would be to take
right, but, I mean,
your entertainment center.
That is cheating.
How about a toy? If you had to choose one toy to retreat with it. Your vibrator doesn't count.
I don't have one. funny enough, the first thing that pops into mind might surprise you, But so in the 90s, there was a series of Galoob Micro Machines playsets.
Okay.
And they did one for Alien.
Really?
Which seems really unlikely. But
is it the one that's in the egg?
No.
Oh.
It's in the Xenomorph's head.
Really?
It folds down, and so the top tier, or the back half that's standing
right.
up, is three separate levels of the Nostromo.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the top level is the dining deck, and it has Kane on the table with the chestburster, and there's a wheel on the back, and you can spin it, and Kane
like, no way.
Shakes on the this is a kid's toy.
That
right?
seems like some sort of like fever dream awesome toy.
This is in my bedroom, Mike. I can show
this
to you.
That's awesome, dude.
The second level is like just pipes and things, and it has a little alien that's hidden in the pipes, and you press a little lever in the back, and it jumps out and pushes down whatever character you have
dude,
on that level.
Dude, that's cool.
And I don't remember what's on the third level, but... And then the bottom half is the egg chamber. And this is the coolest part of it. Like, so for some inexplicable reason, it has a little place where you can put the horseshoe ship that you are actually inside, so it makes no fucking sense.
Meta.
But it's so cool to have a little micro machine of the fucking ship.
That is super awesome.
My God. Like, having a micro machine of something designed by H.R. Giger is just, it blows my mind.
It's this weird, this conglomeration of things.
But so there's this series of eggs, and there's a little golden button, and if you press the button, one of the eggs, like a little, like, meaty thing pushes the egg open and
no way
fucking way
really
this is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life and it has so much entertainment value to
that's me crazy like dude that's really cool
it is next to my bed
so it is your vibrator
it certainly vibrates my imagination
that's awesome
so
dude.
I would take that
like, right on
that over Castle Grayskull, which, you know, is awesome, but
right.
I would need figures, you know?
Right,
so if I
right.
could only take one thing, I would take that thing, like,
nice.
Even without the little minifigures that it comes with.
Right, well, that would count. That's all in one playset,
well, okay.
so,
yeah. In that case, it comes with Parker and Dallas, and then, of course, Kane is on the table.
Right, right. So it doesn't have Ripley?
No.
How weird.
Well, they made two sets from Alien, and the other one is the
escape pod or whatever?
Yeah. The Narcissus.
Oh, right on.
And it comes with the Xenomorph and Ripley and Jones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How tiny is Jones?
Very.
Good
well,
Lord.
He's in the carrying case.
Okay.
So he's like this little orange dot in the carrying case.
Oh, that's cute.
But I do not have that, and it goes for more money than I want to spend.
I'm sure it's obscene.
Yeah.
Right on. See, that is a solid choice, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd have to say if I had to choose three of them, I would probably go with cheating a bit. Say my Nook.
Okay.
With all my books loaded on it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally cheating. If I had to break down to a certain book, I don't know what I would choose. I really there's no way I could go into my vault for the apocalypse and not bring a book of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be fucked if I can think of what one. Like, I'm tempted to say the Annotated Lovecraft because it's such a solid collection and it's interesting and there are certain aspects of it that are totally rereadable, but I don't want to be stuck with just Lovecraft my entire life in this vault.
I would
vault.
Not either.
So I would probably lean more towards, like, the John Belair's collection, where it's, like, goofy kids' mystery stuff. But at the same time, you can only read that so often.
I know my book.
What's your book?
I have a gigantic hardcover collection of Ray Bradbury short stories.
Oh, dude.
Because then you have, like,
that's solid.
The depressing, horrible shit that you're going to want to read because you're in a depressing,
yeah.
horrible situation. And also the lighthearted things that make you have faith in humanity and want to live.
Fuck,
because
that's perfect.
That you want to read in a depressing situation.
That's perfect. Because I was starting to lean towards Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be solid, but Ray Bradbury's a much better choice. That's excellent.
You really get the whole spectrum of
his
humanity.
His short stories are so good.
All of his best work.
Oh my God,
is short.
Yeah, really.
And the collection's not complete, but it's enormous.
That's awesome. That's an excellent choice. I choose that.
Excellent. Hey, I win.
And then I would say my other two picks would probably be a sketchbook. and a pencil.
Oh, solid choice.
And a deck of playing cards. Because that's pretty much, I mean, you can find something to do with that deck of playing cards almost regardless.
Yeah, like even if it's structural, you could build things with it.
Right, right.
I know three games of solitaire that I can play with a deck of cards.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there's 100 others, which is, like, I just learned one called Montana the other day that's a really fun version. It's really? Like, it's way spread out and you move things. It's a really interesting version of solitaire that I really enjoy, actually. So, yeah, I those would be my three choices, I think. Moving on to question two. This is a 7-hour segment, ladies and gentlemen.
If you get to bring your Nook, I get to bring my, or your Kindle, I get to bring an MP3 player.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it would drive me crazy to not have my music, but my logic in the Nook is that it's very low power, so it's something that you could potentially power with like a hand crank or something like that and keep charged. Yeah, and it lasts forever.
Yeah.
Like my battery lasts like 14 days if I'm reading a lot and using the light on it. And like it's got the expandable little card on it, so you know. In a properly stocked apocalypse shelter, the Nook is a viable choice. When you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up for a living?
This is really funny because it's like yours. It's sort of the opposite of where I went.
Okay.
I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be specifically a geneticist.
Really?
Yeah, I desperately wanted to study genetics.
Your childhood job was way fancier than mine. I wanted to be a farmer.
I would argue that your job is more important than mine.
Theoretically, yeah.
Lower paid.
Much lower paid.
Which seems ridiculous to me.
That's how everything is, though. Teachers, farmers. They don't get paid very well.
No, they don't. And it's, yeah, America.
Merck.
Anyway.
A geneticist. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that choice now? Is that something that would be interesting to you still? Like, are you like, oh, I wish I was a geneticist?
I failed chemistry twice. I have only failed two classes in my life. They were both chemistry. No genetics.
So there was some good writing on the wall there. Yeah, that
it was really clear to me that I don't have the aptitude for that kind of higher.
Your genes were like, let's not mess with other people's genes. Let's just get a handle on our own skinny genes for now.
Yeah. My genes were ripped and getting high in the corner. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Ripped. Nice. Nice punnery there, sir. What? Question number three. What is the best piece of advice you've ever read or been given?
Yeah, I wrinkled my brow over this one. And I'm sure that there's something out there. I'm sure somebody's given me some very good advice. I'm not terrifically good at listening to it.
Don't be a geneticist. No.
Yeah. The first thing that popped into my head was don't piss into the wind.
Hey. If you've used that advice, that's solid advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just...
We'll re-quiz Devin on that one in a future episode.
Yeah.
So now we're moving on to the goofier questions of the eight. If snow could be any flavor, what would you want snow to taste like?
I don't want it to exist. Is that a flavor?
That's not an option, sir. You want it to taste like sunshine?
I want it to taste like decaying bodies.
Oh, God.
So that everybody that loves winter sports is as miserable as I am.
Oh, my God, I love that answer. I love that answer so much. Instead of, like, tiger's blood, so it'd be like a slushy. You're like, I want it to be the worst experience humanly possible to go out in the snow.
because it already is.
Solid answer, sir. I'm going to clink your bottle to that one because that's hilarious. We're going to move on to the octo round, where I ask you three questions and you answer whether you believe in them or not.
No.
Number one, Sasquatch.
No.
Aliens.
No.
Love at first sight.
Nope.
Fair enough. And the last question, which is superior, octopus or squid?
Humboldt squid.
Squid.
Dude, Humboldt squid are sweet. And
Humboldt
terrifying.
Squids. I'm not sure I can place which one that is.
They can flash.
Oh, yeah. I just went Macho Man on you. That is. Those are very super cool. Good answer, sir. And that was the octopus or squid section of our podcast.
I suck at round one, but round two is fine.
Good job. Round two is much shorter. I'll definitely say that. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back in a moment. Deeply Dapper Dispatch's podcasts are all brought to you by Deeply Dapper, of course. Whether you're looking for geeky decor, strange and unusual nerdy soap, or a piece of fine art for your walls, Deeply Dapper is your answer. Everything we make is handmade by my wife and I, and have been featured on sites like Wired, Reddit, Shut Up and Take My Money, BuzzFeed, and more. Give the gift of geek or class up your own home with deeplydapper.com. You can also find us on Etsy or one of our many Comic-Con stops around the Western United States. Deeply Dapper, better living through tentacles. Now, back to the show. With Video City.
Ooh. Like, I'm excited, but my heart broke a little.
Because I said Video City?
Yeah.
Yeah, every time I say that, you're going to be like...
kind of. It's like my happiest memories.
Welcome back to Deeply Dapper Dispatches. It's now time for Video City. And this week, we are doing the tagline trivia, Werewolf Edition.
Yay!
This should be pretty fun. I have 10 films. They each have two taglines that were used in their marketing, either on video cassette covers or on posters.
I'm going to do really badly and then feel shitty about myself. Oh my god.
These are all movies that contain a werewolf
in them. Have I seen them all?
I don't know. I don't know everything you've seen, but there's a solid chance you've seen all of these.
Okay.
And what we're going to do here, we're trying to get our buddy Rob on this little podcast-arama here at some point, and we'll quiz him and see how he does as well. So I'm going to keep score.
Rob has a better memory than I do?
I don't know if that's true.
It might not be anymore. It used to be.
It used to be. He used to be solidly into all of these things. But we are talking about stuff that was advertised on, like, a poster. Or some of them did show up in the trailer, though. They used the phrases in the trailer. But it does make it a little harder.
I'd be more familiar with the stuff that was on the video cover, for obvious reasons.
Right. So what I'll read you is the first one that's a little vaguer. Then the second one that is a little more obvious. Then I'll tell you what year it came out and see if that helps.
I like that hint.
All right. Number one. Video City tagline trivia, Werewolf Edition. Devin in the hot seat.
Mm.
Number one, Fear What Is Within.
That is so generic.
I know.
Oh my god.
It's hard when they're all werewolf movies, too.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh, that's not easy. Well, it's not Teen Wolf.
True.
I narrowed it down by one.
Number two, When the Moon is Full, The Legend Comes to Life.
The Legend Comes to Life.
Yes. This movie is from 2010.
Is it the Wolfman remake?
Yes, it is!
The second one made me start thinking that, but...
Yeah, the way they word it, it's just close enough to hint that, but... Number two. He always wanted to be special, but he never expected this.
Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf!
What was the second one?
Michael J. Fox is back in this new comedy.
That would have given it away.
I imagine. You would not need the 1985 part for that one.
Probably not.
Beyond Anything Human is the tagline for number three.
The Howling Part 3.
No.
Good.
All your nightmares are about to be transformed into one single inescapable fear.
Critters 2.
That's not a werewolf movie. This movie is from 1981.
Oh.
You're going to kick yourself on this one.
I'm thinking. What is it?
The Howling.
Oh, fuck me. It's
Beyond
from 81?
Anything. Yeah, yeah.
Are
Isn't
you sure?
That weird? That's what the IMDb said when I summoned it.
What year did American Werewolf in London come out?
80, I think. Didn't it come out beforehand?
I think it came out the same year.
Oh. I agree with IMDb regardless, so. 81.
81?
Yeah.
God. Well. I am kicking myself. That's
since you even guessed three for it.
Well.
American Where?
America Where? Up?
Oh, America Where? America Where? So, it came out in 81 as well.
Yep. Yeah, I was right. Okay. Well, see, I know something.
You were right, but you still didn't get it. Yeah, big FedEx.
Man, I even have Robert Picardo's autograph.
Next. A legend of a strange mortal man with the hair and fangs of an earthly beast. His hideous howl, a dirge of death.
That is a long and amazing tag.
Isn't that great?
That's got to be an older film.
It's a great tagline.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you any hints. You want the next one?
Yeah, I do.
Night monster, prowling, killing, terrifying a countryside with the bloodlust of a savage beast.
Huh.
This movie is from 1941.
Is it the Wolfman?
It is the Wolfman! We couldn't do this and not have the Wolfman. And you're right, man. The classic stuff is just so good. I love the taglines from the old ones. So great. Unlike this one. Number four. Five. I don't know how to count. Fear is breeding fast.
The Howling 3.
Yes!
Is it really?
It is.
Jesus Christ.
Ding, 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 ding. The second tagline on that is, just when you thought it was safe to go down under.
Oh, God. That of all of the movies that don't need sequels, that one's at the top because the sequels
the
are worse
in particular.
Than all of those. Oh, God. Oh, no, they even get worse. It's like the one with the vampires, and I don't even remember. They're all terrible. They're all shit. Only the first one is good. And it's really good.
It is good, yes. The first one is excellent.
It is excellent.
You didn't get it, but it's excellent.
Sort of got it.
Okay, so the next one. Evil Rises. So generic, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Find the source of your fear. This is a sequel / prequel from 2004.
Is that Ginger Snaps 3?
Yes. Good call, sir.
Oh, God. I needed that hint, thank you.
This one I don't know if you will get.
Mm.
But I had to include it because it's awesome. A new high in horror. This next tagline is possibly my favorite on this entire list here. Beauties, the prey of a monster's desire.
Teen Wolf 2.
No. It's from 1961.
I was a teenage werewolf.
Close. Very close. Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory.
Oh, you know what? I have not seen that, but I've always wanted to. Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's not good, but it's enjoyably watchable.
I believe that to be true.
This one's pretty funny. Jeepers, the creepers are after somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm enjoying fucking with Devin on these. More howls than you can shake a shiver at.
Teen Wolf 2.
Teen Wolf 2 is not on this list.
Well, don't tell me that.
This movie's from 1948.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah.
Is it? I was a teenage
Listen
werewolf?
To this. More howls than you can shake a shiver at.
Yeah, okay.
That is a 1940s tagline if you've ever heard one. It's also a comedy.
Clearly.
But stars.
Oh, is
some
it Abbott
classics.
And Costello Meet the Wolfman?
There you meets Frankenstein. But the Wolfman's
in
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've got that on DVD.
I really like those taglines.
Yeah.
More howls than you can shake a shiver at. It's pretty solid.
No, I like that, yeah. Nobody speaks like that anymore.
No,
that's
they don't.
A tragedy.
It really is. This one, I don't know if you've ever heard of. I had not. Their tagline is, it will tear the scream from your throat.
Oh, that's dark. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Come out in the 80s?
It did.
Mm.
Their hunting ground, New York City. Their prey, the people.
Wolfen?
It is. Have you seen Wolfen?
I own Wolfen.
How is it?
It's been one of my very favorite werewolf movies since I was a kid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to watch that.
It's really, really interesting. It's not a traditional werewolf movie. There's no way to describe it that doesn't sound a little cheesy. But
well, it's a werewolf movie, but...
Well, I mean, so part of the premise is, you know, like... colonialist America has taken over, you know, Native American land, and so, like, there's this idea of the Native Americans that have this connection with, you know, the spirit world and animals, and so, like, the werewolves in it are Native Americans.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
It's actually really good, and it does the whole, like, from the vision of the killer, but, like, Predator style, but before Predator.
Oh, interesting.
It's really good and moody, and I've just always really liked it.
Right on. Nice. Good job, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, we got two left.
Cool.
This one could be difficult. A magical, mystical adventure.
What? This is a werewolf movie?
This is...
It's a movie with a werewolf in it.
Sort of.
Sort of?
It's a werewolf movie.
Mm.
Sort of.
And it's a magical mystery tour?
It is a magical, mystical adventure. Tagline number two is Cursed for Eternity.
And it's a magical mystery tour?
Yeah. It's from 1985.
Man, that's solid, like, werewolf territory.
It is.
I like this movie, don't I?
This movie stars Rutger Hauer.
Oh, Lady Hawk.
Yeah!
That's not a werewolf movie. I own that on Betamax.
It's sort of a werewolf movie.
It is not a werewolf movie.
What would you call it?
A werehawk movie.
I guess it's a weremonster movie, isn't it?
Okay, I mean, I guess they are both controlled by solar bodies.
Yeah, yeah, I can see how it wouldn't be a werewolf movie.
It's not a horror movie.
But I had to include
thing.
That. I never said these were horror movies.
But when you say werewolf movie, that's without implies. Well, I mean, Teen Wolf's not a horror movie.
No, it's not even remotely. Neither is Abbott and Costello. Well, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is kind of a horror movie.
You can make a case for it. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the gags are scare-based.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote scare-based.
Right.
Yeah.
So the last one. I'm relatively certain you haven't seen this movie.
Ooh.
But you might be able to guess it. Nothing will be the same. That's such a terrible tagline.
So many of these are fucking generic. I know, the,
like, the
shit.
First one is just so funny. It's like, really, they used that tagline for this.
Nothing will be this. It, like, you could use that tagline for Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, right, exactly. So the second one, I actually like this tagline a lot. When you can live forever, what do you live for?
Blood and chocolate?
No. It is from 2008.
Twilight.
Yes, it is.
Fuck. Fuck you. Jesus Christ.
Those last two were bonus questions, by the way. So that was tagline trivia. Werewolf in quotation marks edition. That'll leave a sour note in your mouth.
Oh, it sure did. And actually, for the record, I have sort of seen it.
Have you?
Yeah, my friend Shelley and I decided one night that we would rent it because it had to be the worst thing ever. And we thought that we would, you know, watch it and laugh at it because it was terrible. And it was so unwatchable that we wound up fast-forwarding through the majority of it. Mostly to get to the notorious glitter scene, also terrible.
It really, like, the effects on that scene is terrible.
There's nothing to even, like, delight in. It's just bad.
It's crap. It's one of those movies where you think you're going to be able to get drunk and watch it and, like, riff on it.
That's what we wanted.
And instead, it's just not enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
I agree completely. So that was tagline trivia. What did you think of that?
Vampire baseball. I really fucking liked that. I thought that was a lot of fun. My not getting the howling notwithstanding. Man, God, take away my horror cred.
To be fair, though, the taglines on the Howling are a little rough. I mean, beyond anything human, and all your nightmares are about to be transformed into one single inescapable fear, those could apply to virtually anything.
They really could.
And that's one of the things I like about this, is I can pick movies that I know you guys love and that you've seen, and be like, they're never going to fucking get this based off of these taglines, because without that video cover up on it...
Neither of those are on the video cover. Not on the
VHS, at least.
Or the DVD.
Yeah. So, that's what I meant. Yeah. I don't know about the VHS, but the DVD, I think, is just the Howling on it, right? And then the slashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have it pulled up on the computer, dude.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I do. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Oh, man. D. Wallace, I love you.
Yes.
Oh, you're in so many good movies. That one is the best one, but still.
She was really good in The Howling.
She's phenomenal.
I really liked her in that. Not so much E.T. necessarily, but...
you know what? Like,
she is in a lot of good stuff.
Oh, she's in so much good
stuff.
Wow,
she's been super active lately, too. Look at that.
I don't think she's ever slowed down, really.
What's Red Christmas?
I hope it's a horror movie.
I know.
Demented stranger who's hell-bent on tearing them apart. Is it Pinhead?
I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. We didn't discuss this in the news section.
Oh, yeah. Shit, that was actually in the one I was going to do when we were in Idaho Falls,
okay,
and I spaced
it. So you did hear that they're rushing a Hellraiser movie into production.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Like, number 10, isn't it now?
I have no idea. I've lost count.
And I know that what's-his-name is not involved with it. Pinhead himself. From what I heard, anyway.
Oh, last I checked, Doug Bradley's...
Bradley, yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I did see that they'd announced that. It's Bloodline, right? No.
No, that's old. No, that's four.
Four. Good lord, I am so out of... 26. Oh, there it is. Judgment.
Oh, it is 10. Okay.
Hellraiser 10, Judgment.
Yeah, so Gary F. Tencliffe is a special effects artist.
Okay.
And he has been campaigning to do a Hellraiser movie for a long time. There was a... Yeah, oh yes. That's the big news, and we'll get to that in a second. He did a Indiegogo or a Kickstarter that failed to do one of his... Yeah, it was a Hellraiser film.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm doing this from memory.
Right.
You know, if my information is a little inaccurate, I'm sorry. Look it up for your fucking self. You have Google.
Right.
But so, Dimension or New Line or whoever has the rights now were in danger of losing the rights again because so much time has passed since
right.
the last piece of shit rushed into production.
Hellraiser
movie.
Yeah, I couldn't even finish 9.
Shelley and I did because it was so bad that we could get drunk and riff on it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and that is one movie that is that bad.
I mean, it
yeah.
is so bad. Like, yeah. I love the guy that they got to play the new Pinhead because he looks like Elijah Wood.
He totally does.
Like, he's got the big bug eyes. Oh, my God, it's so bad. And then there's, like, the weird incest shit going
right,
on. Like,
right,
oh, my God,
what
that movie
fuck,
is so
man.
Bad. Anyway, so, but here's the thing. I heard about this when Heather Langenkamp tweeted on her Twitter, which is where you tweet.
You tweet on the Twitter.
That she has been cast in this and that she's very excited to be part of the Hellraiser franchise.
That is weird.
Mm-hmm. I am... It makes me raise
my weird.
Because,
yeah.
So, like, I've, you know, well, between reading interviews and other things, but, like, I've met Heather Langenkamp. I know what an intelligent, remarkable woman she is.
Right.
The script has to be okay, at least, for her to have said yes to
it. I would certainly think so, yeah.
Although, then again, she is an extra in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. But
she is, yeah.
That's not fair. Her husband did the special effects for it, so...
How odd.
But, yeah, so, I have to wonder, like, the guy who's doing it, like, really does care about the Hellraiser
Which
franchise.
Is cool. I mean, that's a step above the last couple, honestly.
I'm not in love with his ideas. Like, I've read some of the stuff that he's like, talked about doing with the franchise. I'm just not in love with the Hellraiser franchise continuing after the second film, honestly.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Hellraiser fan anyway, but I like the first couple films a lot. I think they're really good. And it seems like one of them, towards the middle, was like schlocky fun, but I can't remember which one it was. But, yeah,
I think 3 and 4 fall into that category.
That might. It's been so long since I've watched them, and last time I watched them all in, like, this snowed-in weekend in my trailer in Maine.
Oh.
And I watched, like, 1 through 8, I think
oh,
it was.
I'm so sorry.
And they've all blended together to the point now that I can't even remember which was which, because it was just a lot of stuff going on.
See, and I love Hellraiser. There is an actual Hellraiser shrine in my bedroom. This is why nobody comes home to sleep
Ladies.
With me. Yeah, it's like, they walk into my bedroom, it's like, why are there giant figures of people with no eyes and people with nails in their head? Oh, that's what I like to go to sleep to.
You're like, would you like to play with my micro machine?
Yeah. Literally, yeah. Never sleep with me. But like,
you don't need to tell people that, Devin.
No, I don't, right? But for me, like the villain of the first film was Julia, and the most compelling character of the first film and the book, Hellbound Heart,
right.
is Julia. And to focus on these, you know, weird...
The interesting Cenobites.
The interesting
right.
Cenobites. The Cenobites are more interesting the less we see of them.
Right, absolutely. And it's one of those things where they're like, oh, this will sell movies because they're creepy looking.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand how these movies actually work, so right. we're just going to shove them into it anyway, kind of thing.
What made this movie good? Oh, clearly it was the, you know, the interesting
visuals.
The creepy
fucks, yeah. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the story.
That may have packed people in seats, and I
right.
guarantee you that it did. But that's not why those movies are good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like, well, like the Nightmare on Elm Street ones, where Freddy is a major part of the driving story in it, and it couldn't exist in any form without Freddy kind of thing.
Although he gets about, like, 4 to 6 minutes of screen time in the first film.
Yeah, that's true. But he's kind of looming in the darkness the whole
time. Absolutely.
And that's part of what I really like about the first one is he's more of that urban legend that people are scared of. And he doesn't have to be right there cracking jokes and feeding people lollipops or whatever. Well, I guess he never feeds anyone a lollipop, but...
Well, apparently in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Robert Englund wanted to, like... rub the knife in and out of Jesse's mouth.
Really?
Yeah, but Jesse's, or the guy that Mike, what is his name? I forget. He's going to be at Crypticon, but
Yeah,
his agent, I think it was the agent, said, don't do it, it's going to ruin your career.
Really?
Which it did anyway.
Right.
Unfairly, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the world was not ready for an allegory about being gay and in the closet.
Yeah, not so much. Because what was that, like 84?
Yeah, something
yeah,
like
or
that.
No, that was the first one. So, yeah, it was right around 86. There. Yeah. Yeah. The world was not ready for anything even remotely close to that.
Nope. They wanted girls in spandex.
Yeah.
You clearly still want girls in spandex.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah. There's a place for that.
I'll take men and women in spandex.
Well, yeah.
Doing Buzz Berkey does tap dance routines or something.
X-Men. Men and women in spandex.
Hey, there you go. I'm excited about that, actually.
I am, too.
I didn't think I was going to be after that first trailer, but the second trailer was solid.
Mm.
And actually, after seeing what's-his-name who plays Apocalypse in Ex Machina, that helped. Knowing that he can play the different characters he plays. Oscar Isaacs. Yeah.
He's different in every
oh, my God. He's a completely different character.
So versatile. Like, just throw an Oscar at the man. Just, like... In general, like
they already did. That's his name.
Oh yeah,
he's had an Oscar since he was born.
They preemptively named the Oscars after
Isn't
him.
Isn't that insane?
It's probably
true. He is Apocalypse. He's a time traveler of some sort.
Ooh, well, he's existed since before time.
Yeah, there. I guess there's that. Well, should we move on to our spoiler-free reviews of what we've seen?
Yes.
Over the past week?
Yes.
So we have a couple of things we've seen. We have watched The Witch.
Yes.
I enjoyed the hell out of. Spoiler-free, I would say it's probably one of the most intense movies I've seen in a long time. I do wish, in a lot of ways, that I hadn't seen it with an audience.
Agreed.
I think that actually... hurt my viewing experience of it, but I really liked it. I'm probably going to give it a 7 out of 8.
I do not think that the audience hurt my viewing experience of it because the audience was small enough that, like...
It was small.
The commentary, I was able to tune out because I was so focused on the film. Like, I was irritated and wanted them to, you know, like,
right.
have their
Stop
eyeballs
Stop asking each other what the people were saying. What'd they say? What'd that kid mean?
Or, what is that? Well, it's symbolism, you fucker.
What in the hell just happened? This ain't Daredevil or Deadpool.
Right.
Why do I keep saying Daredevil for that?
Because Daredevil's better.
It is better.
But I honestly believe that this is going to be my favorite film of 2016.
Solid.
I'm going to give it a 8.
Nice. Excellent choice. I'm leaning that direction, and it seems like it's going to be really rewatchable for me.
I want to rewatch it this weekend.
Yeah.
The night that we came home from the film,
right.
I could not sleep for hours because I was trying to unpack all of the meaning in this film.
It's gorgeous and so layered. It's just crazy to me. It's
also really slow and it's artsy. It's beautiful.
It's
not for people who want the Paranormal Activity experience.
Right. And we were bummed that it didn't come to Pocatello, Idaho. After watching it, I'm shocked it came to Idaho Falls.
Yeah. Yeah. I am so thankful that we got to see it at all.
Yeah. And it was a fun trip, too. We went down there. We met up with our buddy Rob and his wife, Brooke, who we love both of them.
Dearly.
And we went and saw The Witch. But prior to that, we went and saw The Maltese Falcon.
Fuck yeah.
75th anniversary on the big screen.
Not on 35mm, but that's okay.
No, it wasn't.
It was still gorgeous.
It was. I mean, it's The Maltese. I don't even know if we need to give a rating to that necessarily, but if you get a chance to see it, they're done doing their exclusive showings now, but fucking anytime you get to see some classic noir on film, well, on the big screen, go see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well,
and if it's on film, go see that
fuck,
too.
Fuck, man. Tell me where you live because I want to live there. Well,
clearly it's New York, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of the noir films, I really feel that Maltese Falcon is one of the best, if not the best.
It's easily in my top, like, five.
It's up there with, like, Double Indemnity.
And, yeah. Yeah, and this was a nice transfer.
Oh, God,
I mean,
gorgeous.
It was so clear and pretty.
Very crisp.
And like I said, after we walked out of the theater, my only complaint is that they only utilized the front speakers on it.
Because it was recorded
and,
in mono.
Yeah, right. And I would have liked to have seen them just spread the mono out into the other speakers so it didn't feel like you were watching a giant TV.
Sure.
But the sound was really nice. It was a great quality transfer.
It really was.
Fucking great movie.
And
totally
that didn't bother me, probably because I'm used to seeing films in, like, shitty old theaters.
Right.
Like, have four speakers max, or at home, where I've got one.
Right.
So, it didn't bother me at all.
But yeah, that was great. I mean, Maltese Falcon's an 8 out of 8, regardless, just because it's such a great film.
Absolutely. It's one of Humphrey Bogart's best performances.
Oh, yeah. He's so good in it.
Of many. Like, he's very good in everything.
He seems to be having so much fun in this movie.
He does,
Like, those opening scenes with him and his partner in the office, and his partner's all dapper and totally macking on the lady, and he's got this... He can't keep that grin out of the corner of his mouth when he's talking, and it's great. I really like him in that. He's just super charming.
And there's a lot of nuance to his character, too, because
like
he's hard-boiled, and he's brutal, and he does some terrible things, but
by
the end, you really have to wonder, you know, is he that hard-boiled, or is he doing that because... Like, he has a little monologue that speaks to that, but you see it in his performance before that monologue ever happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... If you've never seen it, just go fucking watch it. It's amazing.
Please, please.
It holds up so well. The dialogue's so cracking and fun. The acting, Sydney Greenstreet's
fabulous.
Oh, good.
I mean, you'll know him from Casablanca, and if you haven't seen Casablanca, you're not human.
Yeah. And I love his assistant. I can't remember her name.
I don't know.
But she's just so good.
She's one of my favorite characters in the
show. She is, absolutely. I loved her. I really like his partner, too. And he's not in it much, like 3 minutes.
His short-lived partner.
Oh, my God. But he's just so funny. He shows up and he's super... Yeah, there we go. Thank you. And, yeah, go watch it if you can, but if not, just fucking get it on Blu-ray. They've got a nice quality one now.
Right.
We also, tonight, watched the newest 2 episodes of The Muppets.
Yay!
So good still.
This is my favorite thing on TV, and I think that's a very big thing to say. I mean, there's not a lot of things that I like on TV, but... This is something that I want to continue watching, and I want them to continue making because it's just getting better and better.
I
haven't laughed so hard in so long.
Yeah, like, I cannot think of a show that I've seen possibly ever that I've enjoyed the episodes as much as I have these last 4. They've been so funny and witty.
I just want more.
And, yeah, they're modern, but they're still totally classic Muppets.
The humor, like, sometimes I'm just shocked at, like, where they go. I mean, because you think, oh, it's the Muppets, it's, you know, family-friendly, and it kind of is. Like, I would watch this with my family if I had one.
Yeah, but... right. You are watching it with your family. You're here watching it with me and Lindsay.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Lindsay didn't watch it with us.
Well, the debates were on, but...
Well, yeah, because that's better.
Nah, she's politically inclined.
So am I.
I am not.
Just less so.
Yes.
Especially if it's Republicans, because I'm not going to vote for them anyway.
I haven't voted in 5 years for anything politically based like that. I vote for local issues.
That's
good. Like school zoning, school funding, that kind of thing. I don't find that my vote makes a lick of difference for any of the politicians because they're either people that I've looked into and I'm like, fuck this guy anyway, or I just say that about all of them in the field kind of thing. So, especially living in Idaho, the national election things have very little effect as far as our vote on that, in my opinion.
But the political, the popular vote is counted. And, yes. And, you know, as one of my teachers was saying today, you know, when you have thousands and thousands of people rising their voice, you know, raising their voice, right. trying to say something, like, that's listened to.
I can understand
if there is that kind of dissent, I think that has power and that has meaning. And so, yeah. Like, I will continue to vote, regardless of the fact that the Idaho electoral vote will always be Republican.
No, I also have a problem with the fact that I haven't gotten a new Idaho license yet.
Oh.
And so registering to vote would be a huge pain in the ass.
That's actually the only reason I have an Idaho license now, which is sad because, like, my Arizona license had the best photo I have ever seen of me.
And oh, nice.
I had to surrender it to get the Idaho license.
Oh, sad.
But I wanted to vote for Obama over Bush.
Fair enough.
So that meant enough for me. And now my license looks like I'm a child molester.
Well, you know.
Well, I'm not. I don't want to talk to them, let alone molest them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, children have nothing to offer you at all.
Nothing.
You can't even take their candy because you don't eat most candies.
I don't. No. I really like black licorice. Children don't.
No. That's the most old man candy ever, really.
Yay. Well, I'm happy to be an old man then.
Yes.
More for me.
And if you want to know more about what we think, join us Saturday for our spoiler review show where we'll talk The Witch in depth, full spoilers. We probably won't discuss the Maltese Falcon or necessarily the Muppets. I mean,
I don't see any reason.
They're both excellent, and there's nothing you can really spoil.
Right.
Very good, though. Love the hell out of both of those.
I mean, you could actually spoil the end of the Maltese Falcon, but you'd be a douchebag to do so
right.
for anybody who hadn't seen the film. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could definitely spoil the film that's 75 years old, and if you haven't seen it yet, but...
You know, like, we're getting to the point where, like, people are growing up and not watching films that are 75 years old, so...
Right. Which is sad.
It is.
Because, man, it's so much better than so many other things you could choose to watch instead.
I agree.
Let's move on to upcoming conventions.
How conventional of you. Yeah, right. I will be doing this convention called School.
Yes, it is very conventional.
It's, well, sort of.
Next weekend, I will be at SaltCon in Layton, Utah. My first convention of the year. I'm pretty excited about it.
Is your brother going?
He's not. I may be doing SaltCon solo. Hmm. Like, I threw out an invite to you and Rob and Ben, and all y'all are like, fuck you. And
your name tag should say Con Solo.
Yeah, Con Solo. I am excited about this one. It looks like I'll be debuting my beard oils and my flasks at this convention. So that's pretty cool.
I have noted a significant change in my beard.
It seems much softer. I haven't touched your beard, but it looks a lot more like groomed than it has previously. It's interesting.
Somebody commented today or yesterday, like, did you trim your beard? And nobody's ever commented on whether or not I've trimmed my beard, even when I do. Well, actually, when I trim my beard, a lot of people say, your beard's getting really big, and I don't know how that works.
That's weird.
It's like, I just cut an inch off, and now you're calling it big? I don't know. Maybe it gets poofy. But, yeah, no, it's really soft.
I'm shocked at the difference in it. Like, when we first started doing it, I was like, this is just something that'd be a nice addition to Deeply Dapper's line of soaps and that kind of thing. But I didn't want to sell something, like everything else we do, that I don't use. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we'll try it out. I'll give one to Devin, I'll give one to Ben and see what they think of it. And it like, my wife is just like, your beard feels totally different than it did normally. It looks fuller, and like, not just to plug what we do, but the beard oil is, it's not as gimmicky as I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was a bullshit marketing thing, like, oh, here's this product that you now need, even though you don't need.
Right.
And, you know, it might be optional, but it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really happy with how much better my dry skin is underneath it, because I've always had a problem with dry skin under my beard.
Yeah.
and my skin feels like so much more moisturized, and it doesn't fly. I'm not nearly as beard druffy as I used to be.
I'm not as beard druffy either.
Which is,
I kind of like that.
Excellent, yeah.
Because I've always been very scared of like direct shafts of light. It's like, I stroke my beard a lot. I know sometimes if I'm in direct sunlight, that can look weird.
Particularly when you wear 99% of your clothing is black.
True.
And like the one plop of color is your socks typically. So.
True facts.
So I'll have my beard oil there. We have a very selected line of it right now. I'm just doing three fragrances.
What are the other ones?
We're doing Charisma, Mustache, and something else.
Let's
look here, shall we?
Ooh.
Charisma, Mustache. I don't have the other one in here.
it's a mystery, folks.
It's one of our other bestsellers.
You're going to have to go.
It's nice and masculine, but I don't remember what it is now.
Is it Daryl Dixon?
No. God, no. That will not be a beard oil anywhere in my inventory. Fuck, I don't remember what the other one is.
To smell like Daryl Dixon, just crawl under a car and stay there.
Yeah, pretty much. I do not remember what our third beard oil is. It's a mystery oil. But we are working on a full line of them. We're going to come up with some new fragrances exclusively for the beard oil. And then possibly come out with soaps with those as well. And then I'm super excited about the flasks we're debuting.
Me too.
We're doing a full line of stainless steel, 8-ounce, vinyl-wrapped flasks featuring my artwork on them. They'll be waterproof, heat, cold-resistant. It's all UV-coated. I haven't seen the final result yet. I'm still waiting for the actual vinyl to come back. But the testers look really fun.
Yeah, they do.
I will be indulging in the flask myself, probably since I'm there by myself the whole time.
No shit, right?
I'll just be in the corner liquored up on my Ocula flask.
Aww.
After that, we have Salt Lake Comic Con Fan X, March 24th through the 26th. Oh, SaltCon, if you'd like to attend. It is March 3rd through 5th in Layton, Utah. It's $50 for the weekend. You can go to saltcon.com. And they have well over 500 games to play. They do tournaments. He's been posting on his Facebook page all the different games you can play to win, where every time you play the game, you get a ticket, you put it in the drawing, and at the end of the convention, somebody that played that game over the convention gets the game, which is really cool.
So you play a game to play a game.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. But I hope that the first playing of the game is less exciting than this. Well, I don't know, because winning a game's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a fun con. I'm actually really excited about going, even if I am going by myself.
No.
So if you're in Layton, come to Salt Con, play some board games, say hi, pick up some beard oil for your nappy-ass beard. If you're not in Layton or the Salt Lake City, Utah area, and you'd like to reach out a slimy tentacle and reach out... Then. Look at me not reading my text. If you'd like to reach out and reach out and reach out,
and
you
stroke our slimy. Oh wait, yes. Wait, our beards aren't slimy. Your tentacles are slimy.
If you'd like to add your own beard oil to our beard oils, you can tweet me or find me on Facebook. Deeply Dapper is our name. You can also email me at deeplydapper@gmail.com. If you have an idea for some different taglines to pit these guys against, or a movie you'd like us to watch that you think would be torturous or fun, let us know. If you have any burning nerd questions that you think we could answer, let us know that too.
If you have any burning anything, just open the window and call the fire people.
Or if it's a burning sensation, go see your doctor.
Good advice.
Don't call the fire department.
No.
It burns when I pee, firefighters. Oh, man.
I'll be right there to hose you
off. That's my new favorite thing now. If you'd like to get a hold of Devin, he's starting to be on the internet more frequently now as well. You can find him at losthorrors.com. Where he's posting all sorts of fun stuff. I really enjoy your most recent article about the many iterations of the toys of aliens. Alien. primarily.
Specifically, yeah. Ripley for yes. Women in Horror Month. Yes. Since February.
You can also tweet him at lost_horrors. Tweeter, whatever the fuck that is.
There's no dot, but yeah. lost_horrors. Not Lost Horrors, because that lady likes some weird stuff.
Oh, she's cray-cray.
she might actually appreciate being called cray-cray.
You can also email Devin. I don't remember what your email is.
It's devin@losthorrors.com.
I should have remembered what his email is. And we're going to end this broadcast and sink into the depths. Thanks for listening, friends and fiends. We'll see you next Wednesday.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.